Some people think we're getting rich. That's completely the opposite.
I got pretty rich.
Get out of here. We're probably going to break even at the end of the day.
All In is about a feeling. A feeling that I have in common with Matt and Nick Jackson, the Young Bucks.
Who is ready for All In?
So once again, ladies and gentlemen, we are the game of podcasting, the cerebral assassin of podcasting. It is Matt Mania.
Yo, shout out to DigiLabs, man. I came in.
It was looking. Spit all over the microphone.
It was just smelling delectable in here when I walked in.
Shout out to Digis.
They keep it smelling fresh.
As always, we come to you live from DigiLab Studios in Phoenix, AZ. Hit them up, recordingstudiophoenix.com for any of your recording needs. Ladies and gentlemen, I am Mega Rand. It's awesome to be here with you. And who else we got in the place to be? Let's see. To my left.
You got the partially soaking wet foot, the Neo X.
The Neo X.
Just your foot? That's it? Like,
I stepped in a puddle, so my left sock is kind of wet. And I had an umbrella, so I'm good. But I was the slowest driver on the freeway on the way over here.
Ah. Well, you could have been a lot worse. So I'm glad you're here. Yeah, right when I got like three blocks away, it was just like, apocalypse.
It was awful.
Going down.
It was bad.
So we're on episode 96, and there's another gentleman to my right.
Yo, T called a villain in the building, back for another episode. I got hit with the dust storm first.
Yeah.
So I was like, I was going one way through the dust storm, and then I came the other way through the rainstorm.
The weather juked you.
You got it both ways. When I went to the Diamondbacks game last night. I went to the Diamondbacks game last night, and right at the end, it was dust storm. Like, as we walked out, you couldn't even see nothing in front of you. You're like eating dust. It was just not a great feeling. Ew. So I've dealt with it now 2 days in a row. So anyway, here we are.
And you're here for the rest of the week, right?
The week's almost over. You know what I mean? We got two more days in the weekend. But I am actually in Phoenix for the weekend, so I really feel good about that for once.
Yeah,
so I will be playing Friday night in Phoenix at the Last Exit Live venue. Myself, Bear Ghost, Alfred Banks from New Orleans.
I like Alfred Banks.
Friend of the show.
Friend of the show.
And the Color 8 Band. And then Saturday.
Yeah, I'm going to come through and see you guys.
Word.
I want to come through
too. As long as you're playing before I got to be at work.
I hope so. I think I'll be on like 10.
Hey, Bear Ghost. Okay, then that's Bear good. Ghost is still pretty shreddy. They play good music.
They're super fun.
I like their sound.
And we're going to stream the whole show live too. So be on the lookout on their Facebook page. On Last Exit's Facebook as well. We're going to test something new out where we do a dope live stream of the
Link's
whole show.
Links coming soon.
Also, Saturday, I'm playing at Game On Expo. It's an all-day event, all ages.
That's going to be
myself.
Fun.
Who else is going to be there? Andre, the Black Nerd. A bunch of great YouTube celebrities as well as gamer celebrities and voice actors. And bands, the Mini Bosses, myself, Super Madness, a couple others.
Mini Bosses are always fun.
Yeah.
So and come then,
are they going to be the loungy bosses or the mini bosses?
I think it's full mini bosses.
Oh,
for this
thank
one.
Goodness.
Yeah. And then on Sunday, your partner in crime, Pindy, he's going to be performing Open It Up for Sky Zoo.
Indeed. That's going to be a great weekend for music. One of my homies was like on the Facebook event, was like, oh man, you going to make me choose between guild members this weekend? I was like, what do you mean? I play Friday and Saturday. Yeah. Penny plays Sunday.
Right.
I think what he's basically saying is, I'm not going to all of those. Which is, yeah.
Well, go to two of them.
Go to two. Most friends will be like, oh, don't give a friend an out, because a friend will gladly not come to a show if they feel like, oh, there's two going on.
Right.
So, nah, you can go to two or three. Two out of three ain't bad.
Right, so I need to make mine more silky.
So we have imagery or bumpers for a couple of our weekly segments, the burial of the week and the snack of the week. So I want to shout out Nathaniel Hamer for coming through for those. So think about the thing you might want to bury for later. Honestly, did I talk about Octopath Traveler last week?
You said it was an excellent game.
I did. It was awesome. I put that over, so I guess I can't put it over again.
Mm-hmm.
But I might want to put it over again, because I've really literally been continuing to play it. And I just found out there's 8 characters, which is why it's called Octo. There are 8 different paths, and they all run into each other.
That was about octopus.
Then I found out later, the characters, there's just 8 characters, their names, if you line them up, they spell out Octopath. And that kind of blew my mind for a second. Shout out to Brown and Foss for letting me know that. They all have names that
will
spell out Octopath. It's 8 of them. I thought that was weird. But it was cool, though. The game is super fun. It's not, like, super great graphics, but it feels like the old Super Nintendo.
Is it, like, 16-bit
style? Feels like 16-bit style, but with, like, some zooming in and zooming out. So, occasionally, it does some really cool, like, effects, like shadowing and, like, when there's light or flame around. Like, you get to see some cool effects. So, it's a dope game.
Does it play like turn-based RPG or is it action?
Classic turn-based, yeah. So you gotta wait for your time to attack and
then AP bar.
Ching ching. Yeah, and then you do all your special moves and you do a big summon and it takes a little more time to recover from that.
You have a character class or job lists?
I just got to jobs. Like you gotta get maybe about a third into the game and then they start like jobs become a part of their
enhancement list.
Enhancements, not not jobs. But yeah, man, so that's been super fun for me. So that's what I'm going to put over this week.
Right on, man. That's good.
Teak, what are you putting over?
Yo, so what I'm going to put over is Ozark Season 2.
Mm.
So
if you guys were Season 2 is coming.
Yeah, if you guys have been listening to the podcast, I mean, early on in the podcast, I think I put over Ozark. I was a big fan of the first season. And the new season is going to be starting on August 31st. So they already got the trailer out for the new season and they actually put out the exact time that the new season will start. So you can catch that at 3 a.m.
Oh, wow.
On August 31st.
Why so late?
Or just you can wake up and just watch
it. Or you can just catch it the next day.
Hey, but if you're excited and you want to start binge watching, don't act like you ain't got up in the middle of the night to watch some wrestling. So
I definitely have. So.
I've done that before, but like, yeah.
So yeah, so Ozark, for those who haven't seen it, it's basically like drug laundering. I mean, I said drug laundering, money laundering.
Mm-hmm.
This guy is money laundering for the cartel through Ozark, which is supposed to be like, where is it? Somewhere like Missouri, Minnesota, somewhere. Mm-hmm. Somewhere out there that's supposed to be like a big vacation town. So they get a lot of cash and fluxes at certain times of the year. So he bought some property out there to try to wash cartel's money.
So is it like
and then shenanigans ensue.
Shenanigans.
Of course. Mad shenanigate.
Is it more so like backwoods country?
Yeah.
Type?
Definitely, but I mean it's Jason Bateman, so he's like, you know.
Oh, okay.
Banker, inner
in
city,
it.
You know. Cool. Yeah, he's the drug launderer.
Oh, right on.
He was working for the cartel when they were in the city, and then like some stuff happened where he had to like kind of run. So then they were like, yeah, we're going to put you in the Ozarks and
it's
have
like
you
a,
do it from there. It's like kind of like Breaking
feels
Bad.
Feels like Breaking Bad a lot. First season was really good. A lot
like
of action.
Generic power.
Generic power. So you're comparing everything to power now.
No, nothing like power.
It's nothing like that. It's more like Breaking Bad. You know, good guy turns crazy evil because he has to make things happen to save his family. Same kind of situation.
Oh, well, yeah, that's right up the alley.
Yeah, and then, then he's dealing with backwoods characters, kind of like, you know, rednecks and,
like weirdos.
You know, exactly.
Circus folk.
That racist.
That he's got to deal with on top of dealing with the cartel. There was like a guy who was like a preacher and he was like, his congregation was on the water, like everybody came to boats for church. So like, mm-hmm. It's like crazy stuff. Check it out.
Empower.
See if you can add that
to your list
of things to watch. That and Power, Nia.
True.
Empower,
Nia, what you got? Oh, you still on Power?
Yeah, I've been watching it, but I just noticed like I got into the part where there's like a father drug guy.
Oh yeah, he's a priest.
Yeah, he slings dope and guns.
Right. He's like, hey, I
through
you
the
know.
Through the church.
Yeah, through the church.
Oh well, then I guess that's kind of Ozark like because they did the same thing.
Yeah, he's like, yo, dude, he does the dirt, and but guns. Not like murder though. He just he'll give them the guns.
They were slinging drugs in the Bibles, like when they were passing the Bibles to the congregation.
Oh,
it was
wow, that's
drugs
deep.
In it.
This dude, he opened up a soup kitchen, and he like deals drugs to. You know,
the homeless people at the
homeless and feeds them.
Gotta get it in. Like he's still doing good, but he's also doing bad.
That's the real clips, like
wow. All right, so I do want to shout out one more thing. It's a website called The Kitchen Magpie. It's a recipe site that I used to make a chicken egg noodle casserole this week for the family. So I want to shout them out. The Kitchen Magpie had a really cool recipe. Check them out, thekitchenmagpie.com.
I will also, I guess this week, I did finish up Power, but I'm still watching Chio's Road School, which is an anime. Mm. There's a new OVA of Baki, if you're not familiar with Baki the Grappler. What's in that? It's a fighting, you know, type of anime. It's pretty brutal. Mm-hmm. And again, just I'm gonna start. I've been, you know, still playing Yakuza and still playing Overwatch. I'm gonna start giving a little bit more love to Street Fighter because I kind of want to get back into the swing of things, mm-hmm. You know, for up and coming tournaments and stuff. So
nice.
Let's see how it goes.
Dope. Evo just went down this past weekend.
Yeah, that was kind of the inspiration. Like, man, I am
trash.
Slacking.
I mean, you're not. I mean, we're, just because you're not pro level, like, you know, yeah. These guys are. Beast level.
Do, man. It's like,
I know guys who are
get that good?
Professional level good who are not even worthy of top 20. You know what I mean? So you got to be another level of good.
Yeah, I just want to feel like a local pit boss where I'm like, I can go to my arcade and just mop the floor with people, and then just at least try to put up a somewhat of a fight. If
it's crazy, man, I'm sure that takes a lot of skill,
dude. It's annoying.
It's just like I don't know if you guys ever watch, like, I don't watch it, but when I'm flicking through channels and they'll have like poker on ESPN,
right?
And I'll be like, damn, like, how did you get to the level of playing
and you're
championship poker?
Yeah,
that means that you've lost a hell of a lot of money,
and you probably made a lot of money.
But you might have made some money, or at least you broke even, like. That's what, yeah, like, I know some friends who are professional poker players. Like, yeah, I've lost hundreds of thousands. You know what I mean?
Right. Oh, like, that's crazy.
Like, that's just part of the game.
That tax return or that tax
form? Like, sometimes
form,
you get those big wins where it's like, oh, man, I'm living off this. And then sometimes
and
you
then
get those
10 bad losses in a row. Like, it happens.
When to hold them. No, when to hold them.
I am definitely not a gambler.
Yeah.
I'll go put a couple bucks in the
slot. I'll do a slot.
I'll play some 21 until I lose a bit, and then I'm done. But 21's my game. Blackjack.
21 is a blackjack, right?
Me too. Yeah. I do blackjack. I'll throw down 30, 40 bucks on blackjack.
I think the next time we go to Vegas, because we haven't been in a while, but the next time we go, we should try to do that, because I've never done gambling like that. I've only done a slot machine.
Maybe just throw $100, like, just
you
put aside $100
blackjack?
That you wouldn't be mad if you lost.
There
you
go. You
know what I mean?
That's what you got to do. You got to have a certain amount of money to gamble with.
And that's it.
And that's what you got to stick to. Like,
don't get snaked.
I was going to ask you, ever played blackjack and been winning and saw them change the car dealer out?
Yeah, that's when I leave. That's when you get up.
Done.
Yep.
You go, because that means you've been breaking him. So now they, like, switch it up.
Yep.
I got
to
go.
They're trying to. They think something is going on. They're like, these guys in cahoots. Like,
shenanigans.
He cutting you in? Okay, get out of here.
Then you get up and leave, and they be mad, like, oh, you ain't gonna give me a
Why
chance
are you
to
leaving?
Win this money
like,
back.
They're gonna sick Mickey Rooney.
Or I'll play one
taser.
And then I always lose. I'll be like, all right, I'm gonna give you one time to keep me at the table, and I always lose that one. So yeah.
He doesn't even get let you get a taste. He's like, no.
Nah, you leave buck. When the new you get out of there.
Buck stops here.
All right, so the buck stops at Raw, where this
where
is
the
a
buck stopped then. No.
Two weeks. Yeah, I wish.
They stopped at Full Sail.
The Bucks didn't stop there, but they stopped at Full Sail, apparently. Wait, they came to Full Sail? Like, they didn't go on TV, obviously, but they were at
NXT headquarters.
If you watch Being the Elite.
I haven't watched in a while.
They said they were going to go to Connecticut, and then they were going to go to New York, and then they were going to go to Florida, and then there's this end segment where they pan up to the Bucks. And in the background, you see Full Sail Arena, and they're like standing right in front of it.
Wow.
And then like Flip kept saying like, "Yeah, I just got signed to Ring of Honor, boys." And they're like, "Yeah, that's great." And he's like, and then Flip goes to the Bucks. Well, what about your contracts? I heard they're coming up soon. And then Nick's like, "Let's not talk about that."
Oh shoot, I gotta watch it.
So yeah, lots of teasers.
They tease a lot. We'll talk about that. I want to get to some rumors as well. So
I got a rumor.
Did you guys all watch Raw?
I watch Raw.
I missed Raw.
Okay, well, let me clue you in. So they hyped up the in-ring TV debut of Ronda Rousey, which was going to happen on this Raw. Also, but I think the best part of the show.
This Raw that just passed, she fought on this one or the one coming
up? Yeah,
she
last week.
Alicia Fox.
She fought Alicia Fox. It was the main event of the show. They kept it to the very end.
You know, can I add something? I know we're going to get into it, but hey, what's up, man? Welcome in.
Hey!
Hey!
Whoa! Hey. Oh, snap, yo.
Hot off the press. I was about to say, you're not the guest.
Literally,
hey,
hot off the press.
It's not Atari Storm.
You're not Atari Storm. Ladies and gentlemen.
Good to see you again.
And there was a storm, but Atari didn't come through.
He didn't make it. Yo, ladies and gentlemen, Benjamin Leatherman just brought in a couple copies of the Phoenix New Times.
Teacher, rapper, hero.
That has me on the front holding a Mega Man helmet. This is crazy.
I'm gonna go live on the Twitter device.
Oh my God. So this is officially coming out tomorrow. He was nice enough to drop us in. I apologize that y'all don't have we don't have cameras in here.
Now I gotta try to protect this from the rain when I leave.
I know. Like you got them in dry. How did you do that?
Did you put them under your shirt?
Smuggled. All right. Benjamin, thank you for this. Say some words to the people.
Hey, everybody out there in Matt Mania land.
Say something about the story, about interviewing Rand. How'd it go? How'd it feel?
It was fun. Thank you very much, Rand, for letting me crawl inside your life for like a week or two. And get to learn about your world, positivity, wrestling, Xavier Woods, everything, your background, Philly, the call. Yeah. Pick it up on newsstands everywhere or check out phoenixnewtimes.com.
Hey, Rand, do you mention me in this?
Well, really, I think as much as this. No, hey, guys, Teak. As much as the story is about Mega Ran and his career and his influence, I think the story really comes together towards the last chapter, where specifically mentions Teak Hall, Neo X, and Rock Knowledge. I mean, if this were the pipe bomb promo, that part would be like kind of like the shout out to Colt Cabana.
Yeah.
It just pipe bombed it. Okay, nice. That was a good segment. I like how you segued.
Cool. I'll make sure that I read from the back of the from the back of the article going forward.
You're gonna read it manga style.
He's gonna read it backwards.
Yeah, manga style.
Oh man. Okay. So quick, while you have the microphone.
All right.
While you have the mic, Benjamin. We're talking about Raw. Did you catch it this week?
I heard there was an amazing Paul Heyman promo where
it was
Bloodshot. Like transcended, but
we're gonna talk about that. So even if you didn't see it, then maybe you've heard about the stories of what's happening where Brock is going full heel to the point where he's uncontrollable, he's unhinged, and Paul Heyman is worried that he's not Brock's not a Paul Heyman guy anymore. So this adds an interesting dimension to the story, I think. So what do you think going into SummerSlam? Is there a new third dimension on this story that you care about now?
Is Brock going to show up more? I mean, are we actually going to get some story development? Are we just going to be stuck in, you know?
Now, this is actually something good that I think that we can get into with like some fantasy booking or something like that. Because it's like, okay, so if Brock leaves, who's the new Paul Heyman guy? Does Roman win and Roman becomes the Paul Heyman guy?
Bobby Lashley.
Does Braun cash in and Braun become the Paul Heyman guy?
He don't need
it.
He's a monster. He don't need it. He don't need
it. When you have two great people together, you don't need it.
Roman needs it.
The fans love it.
Yo, Roman kind of needs it.
Nope. Roman needs it. Lashley needs it.
The crowd would cheer Roman if he went with Paul. Like, that would instantly put Roman over.
Can Paul go to SmackDown? Can he pick up Samoa Joe in his feud against AJ Styles?
I would like that. I would like that. Benjamin, any thoughts? Who would be, in your eyes, the next Paul Heyman guy?
It didn't seem down. Like all right. Didn't seem like CM Punk needed. He could work the mic, but
Finn Balor.
Oh,
maybe
okay.
I mean, you know, if I'm doing fantasy wank or fan wank or fantasy booking,
fantasy wank.
I would reform the Dangerous Alliance. You know.
Yeah, there we go. Like we could get Paul a stable, and it could even be on both shows. Like he could just be like, "Hey, I got a guy on this show. I got a guy
like
on this
show." Thought that Titus Worldwide was going to do at one point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but for it actually to work,
All I know is that whoever's going to turn heel or whatever and end up with Paul Heyman is going to end up getting fed to Roman. You know, and then
you might be right, or Braun. I feel like Braun's got to get his moment.
Right. There's still no for sure. Knowing that Roman's going to be the champ because Braun can still cash in.
What do you guys think is going to happen with, I don't know if you talked it already, but what's going to happen with Money in the Bank, Kevin Owens, Braun Strowman?
I think Braun keeps it. I think they just need something for Kevin Owens to do right now.
Right.
I don't think they're gonna give away the briefcase in a match. Like,
yeah,
have they done that before?
No. What type of stupid gimmick is this?
It's just something to do for the match. Like, oh, if he loses, he loses.
I heard about
money.
That in like a commercial break or something. It was like talking about it, and I'm like, really? Like, they're fighting for the briefcase?
I feel like they just wanted to put some stakes on that match, just so they wouldn't have the same match again. But nah, you can't give away something they worked for in a match. I don't know. Fans, has that ever happened
before? They would be
anybody out, got Google machines?
They would be out their mind to take that.
It's
from
never happened.
Braun, if this is something new that they're doing.
Didn't Sandow lose his? How did he lose his money to make?
No, he cashed in and lost.
To Cena.
Didn't he like lose the physically lose the briefcase?
Well, Cody Rhodes like tossed it into like the Long Island Sound or something, and he came back with the one that looked like a giant chocolate bar.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Yeah, but he didn't lose his thing.
He didn't lose his spot.
And lost.
He just cashed in and lost. Okay, like Baron Corbin did.
He just went to the fucking gimmick table and picked up like a fake one.
Hey, just since you just mentioned him, is it me or does Baron Corbin or Constable Corbin look like the assistant manager of like a West Valley Applebee's, just the way he dresses and stuff like that?
That's what they said on the show.
He really does. Someone did say something about Applebee's. I saw a tweet.
Finn Balor.
Finn said it too. he's managing the Applebee's. So while we read through the new times a little bit, I wanted to talk about one other thing that was interesting on Raw. We did talk about Paul Heyman's promo. I thought, man, this deserves an Emmy. He comes out unshaven. He's shaken up. He's like real tears coming down his face. And he's like really worried about not being Brock's guy. And so it's something that it felt real. And I think that this story needed another dimension badly. So I'm happy about it. I'm super happy that now it's like, what happens before this match? What happens after? Now we get to think about that instead
of
just...
Right, but the added flavor to it doesn't have anything to do with Roman.
No, it doesn't.
But what people care about is Paul.
Let's not knock Roman this week because that crowd cheered for Roman.
I didn't see it. So
they were in Jacksonville. It wasn't like a real like a wrestling town. not the this Jacksonville.
Okay, Elias.
Well,
Jacksonville,
Elias,
you guys don't Elias, know wrestling.
Ask Elias about Jacksonville. He'll probably say it's not good. Man, I've had the worst show of my life in Jacksonville. Can I talk about this?
Burial.
All right. It's time to... Wait, that means I'm burying Jacksonville. I don't want to do that.
Yeah, you do. Do we have the clip?
All right. Bury it. Let's do it. The worst show I've ever had in my life. Benjamin, I'm glad I didn't get
Since
to talk to
heard
you
these
about
sound
this.
Bites, let's hear what this burial
So,
bites.
Yeah, cue that up. And we're going to talk.
Are you about to kill
burial.
Me now?
Burial of the week.
Can't hear it. Cut it up.
Yeah. You just got the bad headphones. You can't hear it.
Oh, maybe that's why.
Ladies and gentlemen.
I'm one ear Joe over here.
Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you about the Jacksonville show. The worst show of my life. All right, here we are. We're doing a rap show. Everything's all good. There's a promoter. I don't want to say his name, but he's not a very good person. He's
a carny.
And I don't mean that in a good way, not in a Vince McMahon way. We're doing the show, and whole time he's really grumpy. He's like, oh, I don't have any drink tickets for you. I don't have barely any merch space for you. We're like squeezed in on this like bar, like round bar table. And I start doing my set. He puts like 7 guys on ahead of me. So I play at like 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning. People are getting drunk. Everybody's just wasted. I'm playing my set. And during, of all songs, I do this little skit where I do the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. So I just kind of do that. And in the middle of that, the Prince of Bel-Air, I hear, what the F, bleep, bleep. And it's just,
right.
Yeah. I hear glass break, but it's not Stone Cold. K Murdoch's running the sound. Shout out to K. He stops the music. And I was like, yo, what the heck? I turn around, the promoter. His face is busted and full of glass because a girl smashed him in the face with a beer mug. Just wow, right on his face.
Yeah.
You remember? Remember when what was that? When Taz and Jerry Lawler, they had with the gumball case or whatever. It was kind of like that. It was just blow right on him. And he's just gushing blood and she's like, well, he shouldn't have been harassing me and my friend. I don't care. And I'm just like, what is going on right now? I'm just playing the Fresh Prince. Why would that create a violent situation? So now it turns out later,
really, son.
I have no idea what really went down, but the I guess the show promoter was going around with candy trying to offer it to people, like to girls and guys. And this could seem like a little bit harassing.
Kind of illegal.
Yeah, it seemed a little weird. So he kept bothering these two girls who I think were a couple. And one of the other girls was like, no, get away. Bust them in the head. And I'm like, all right, let's clean this up. He goes into the bathroom. He cleans his sweat. I was like, well, I guess I should maybe do one more song for the people who waited till 1 a.m. to hear me rap. All right, guys, last song, Splash Woman. No, stop the music. He comes out of the bathroom, face bloody with a towel. No, show is over, man. Show is over. Everybody out. Starts pointing everybody to the door. I'm like, okay, stop the Splash Woman. I'm like, well, guys, thanks for coming. I'm really sorry this happened. Maybe meet me at the merch table. We're chatting. If you want to buy anything, that'd be cool. No merch. Everybody
out.
What a
dick.
Wouldn't even let me sell merch. I'm like, dang, I can't even push my wares. I get cut short on the long show. By the time that happened, there's maybe 30 people there. Then the stoppage, 20. And then he tells everybody to get out. They're all leaving. So we're like, well, thanks, man. Can we get paid? And then he says, oh, yeah, about that.
I have to pay for these stitches.
Cue the Super Mario Game Over music. Yeah, that was the worst show of my life. Thank you very much for listening. Burial is not to Jacksonville, because I like Jacksonville. Duval, as they call it.
Yeah,
I had a really good time out there.
And
I love
that Florida
place.
In general. You always get love out
there. Florida gives me a lot of love. I think I'll be in the Jacksonville area sometime in November for a convention. So I don't want to be the guy who knocked your town. However, I just brought that up to say it's not like a wrestling hotbed. You know what I mean? And Roman's from Florida. Roman gets a lot of Florida love. You know what I mean?
You went a long way to try to support your argument, which I feel is still moot.
It's pretty valid.
No,
come on.
It's still pretty moot because he's getting the cheers. He's getting
okay,
the cheers.
You're right. He's getting the cheers.
Thank you.
But do you want to force cheers?
Long-ass fucking segue.
do you want force cheers, though?
How are they forced?
They're forced by Brock being so bad that they have to cheer for the other guy.
I'm sorry that Brock is playing the heel role, and they need to boo the bad guy and cheer the good guy.
So you think, let's shake on this. Do you think they're going to cheer Roman Reigns in Brooklyn? Come on, shake my hand.
Yeah.
Shake my hand.
I am.
Brooklyn is going to cheer Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
At SummerSlam.
Brooklyn will do it.
They're going to boo that entire match, dude. Somebody's going to have beach balls. Somebody's going to pull out some barbecue chicken. I mean, every distraction you can think of, they're going to pull out for that. They're not going to. No way.
You're saying
crowd.
Brooklyn is not a good wrestling crowd.
They're not a fun wrestling crowd. A very smarky,
so
for lack
like,
of a better word.
Like heel wrestlers?
They like cool bad guys.
So they go against what wrestling should be.
Sorry, we like cool wrestlers, Neo.
And like I said,
that's
Teak
too.
I put out a tweet. I put out a tweet where I said
that I cheer heel wrestlers.
Yes, I did.
I put out a tweet where we should just, you know what, let's just enjoy wrestling for what it is.
I saw that tweet. You know? I tried to unlike it, but there's no way to do that on Twitter.
Yeah. And it just I
almost blocked you for that. No, I'm just kidding.
It's really because, you know, it comes to the point where I think I'm kind of tired of trying to make the point. Well, I think I became a little tired. But I probably will never stop.
Nah.
That, you know, essentially, the way wrestling is supposed to be booked, it's good versus evil.
The point is not yours to make.
Yeah.
So
but
maybe
yeah.
you should stop
but
trying to make that point. You might be burning yourself
been.
Out.
You know what I'm saying?
Trying
yeah.
to make that
wrestling
point.
Wrestling has always been good versus evil.
Yeah, but let people enjoy
yeah,
wrestling
but it
the
should
way
be
they want to enjoy
good,
it.
Good versus good evil. You know what I mean? Good versus evil is cool. But remember, it was Vincent K. McMahon who said, frankly, we think the audience is tired of having their intelligence insulted. You know what I mean?
When did he say that? Like in 98?
He said that in 98, right in the beginning of the Attitude
where
Era.
2018?
The idea of good guys and bad guys. Passé. Like, he said this.
Yeah.
And now it's like, let's get back to good guys and bad guys. Like,
but I just feel, like I said, it came to the point where, you know, yes, it comes to the point where the crowd is going to cheer and boo whoever they want.
Mm-hmm.
However, I feel like the Smarks, you know, they need to figure out, like, they're booking this traditionally, where it's still good versus evil.
I absolutely agree with that. I just feel like you can't control what the audience is going to do.
Of course not.
So don't ever play to the audience. Like, you can't change the show because of what.
Stories will never be, they'll never be consistent.
Hey, consistency, Dave, is fine, or Neo, not consistent is fine.
Neo X, do you like Superman?
No.
Why don't you like Superman?
I don't.
Because he's a bitch. No. Why don't you? Because his power is on a level where he can't be beat, so it's not fun to watch somebody who can't be beat, right?
Yeah, Superman can be beat.
Yeah, by one thing. Everybody doesn't have that one thing, so why is he boring?
I think he's because been of beaten that. By, like, Apocalypse and... Not Apocalypse,
I was about to say, come on now.
Like, Doomsday, Lobos, I forget who else. But he's been beaten
before. Doomsday has kryptonite in him. He's made.
I think Bizarro Superman also beat him too. But he's always been resurrected. Yeah.
Yeah, and he's always been a bitch.
Yeah, but he's had to be defeated by ultimate evil.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I brought that up to say that Roman Reigns has a Superman punch and he's basically like the Superman.
Oh, okay.
And nobody cares to watch somebody who, you know, no matter what happens, this person is going to be pushed to the front. And I feel like that's what it is. So when you're talking about, like, it's supposed to be ultimate good versus ultimate evil, guess what? Sometimes I like watching or reading the Superman comics where it's Black Superman, where Superman has, like, a little bit more of the edge to him because all the other goody-goody Superman stuff gets boring.
But I'm saying it's getting booked this way. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and the comics were getting wrote that way. I'm saying that it's not your job to try to tell people, like, hey, this is how it's supposed to be written. You guys should follow these rules of wrestling, because somebody is going to come along like me and just be like, hey, Roman's a bitch, and I don't care if he's the good guy or not. Yeah. Good guys suck.
And the thing is, too, don't get it twisted. Like, I am not the biggest Roman Reigns supporter, but the fact of the matter is...
You sounded like it on the show.
But the fact of the matter is, he's getting booked this way, so if you just think about it, like, you know, in, like I said, from traditional booking, you know, we're supposed to.
And I'll tell you this.
Technically, listen, I heard
I'm not the biggest Roman Reigns hater.
I'm just saying.
I might come off as
it. It's kind of like where, you know, again, he's just been booked this way.
I think he can wrestle when he has good matches.
He does the good stuff.
Technically, he's not a good guy.
He does the stuff.
He just kind of does his thing.
He's the guy that, like, a good person would do. And as humans, I feel like, you know, sometimes we should be, you know, not should be, but sometimes it just should be like where, you know, we gravitate towards good people, towards the good guys.
Yeah. What's
well,
wrong
I
with
feel
the good
like
guys?
There's, you know? There's, yeah, but everybody can't be like, hey, I lost that match, but I'm still the champ, and I still want another shot at the belt. Who else gets to run around WWE and make these claims get these matches?
Yeah, there is a video cut, oh my God, and it starts from like 3-4 years ago, and it shows the same pattern of Roman's matches where, like, he gets to the main show, he's about to win the Universal or the World title, he loses. Then he gets a rematch, or he has to fight through three guys, gets the rematch at a pay-per-view, loses, gets put to the back of the line, wins another three-way, gets put back into the top. This has happened like 12 times since he's been a top guy.
And then, like, the ultimate one is when he actually won it, and then he got cashed in on.
Right. Then he instantly gets it back. But then
that was a reset. That was
same thing happened. Yeah, they reset it. He gets the rematch the next day on the show, I think, and then loses. And then he has to fight through another four-way or six-pack match.
What an amazing chase story. Boy, I love those.
I love them, too.
I do, too, but not the forever chase.
They've done it over and over with the same guy.
But
so it's like,
you know what's really nice, though? It kind of plays back to some of that old-school booking, if you really think about it, I know we're not in that age anymore, but if you really peel it back, it's kind of like how, you know, old-school booking would be, where you had, like, these very long, you know, storylines, and there's, you know, there's always these obstacles where the good guy does have to, you know, overcome and thwart, you know, and I sometimes think about it like that way, and you know, I can appreciate it for what they're trying to do.
I agree. And I'm thinking back as an old school wrestling fan, NWA, Dusty Rhodes chasing Ric Flair for literally years.
Yeah, for years.
And up and down the territories, losing. Oh, winning one, technicality. Nope, he didn't win.
Right.
You know, the dusty finish, like things like that.
Like,
you
oh, they
win
cheated
it,
the good guy.
And
out
it's
of
like,
the,
no. Yeah. You weren't supposed to win. He give it back, you
right.
know. And so it's definitely old school wrestling style.
Exactly. And think about that old school.
Yeah.
We are so far past old school. Like,
no, but some of the basic things still work. Yeah.
And that's
like you said,
of,
good
no,
versus
I'm,
evil.
That's I'm, kind of
what I'm bringing this up to say is because
comes from is just from the basics.
Just because something worked back in the day doesn't mean that it works now. Just because that was all you had back then, so that's what you watched and enjoyed.
Yeah.
But once something progresses, you can't go back to what you were doing and think people are going to accept that just for what
work.
It is.
Yeah, I mean, some things will always
that's what
work.
Comic books are. Comic books
they always
like
get reset though, and they
movies
get reset
like
and
that.
They change the
that's
world.
True. They reboot.
They
like
reboot
that.
Movies. Yeah, and when they reboot them, what do they say? That isn't the old. That isn't the wrestling that I knew.
No.
So yeah, you're right. This isn't the wrestling you
that,
knew.
But I'm just saying, like everything nowadays, if you think about it, it's exactly like that. It's always been good versus evil. It's you know, unless they make a specialty movie where the evil guy comes out up top,
but then it's evil versus evil.
But then it's then it becomes evil versus evil or evil versus
or
you know,
evil versus more
self.
Evil.
Neo, this is the perfect thing, not even to counter you, but I just want to bring it up because of what you're saying.
Yeah.
So earlier today, I watched something about Disney where it was talking about basically, I know like Disney owns like Marvel and everything now, and it was talking about like the lack of Disney villains, not just Marvel villains, Disney
villains
in general.
Yeah.
And how if you go back and you watch Aladdin, if you watch Sleeping Beauty, all of these, they had great, strong villains.
Yeah.
And then at a certain point in Disney, the villains stopped being good.
Kind of fell off.
And they were explaining it as being because they decided to move away from the villains and give the heroes more story.
Or,
in the movies, hold on, let me finish. In the movies where the villain was great, they were saying that the hero wasn't. Think of Sleeping Beauty. Nobody really cares about Sleeping Beauty. You don't really care about the prince. You care
about
the
beast.
You care about the villain. Yeah. And Snow White and all of those things. So they were saying that the villain used to get the better storylines, and now they actually cut back on villain storylines to give you more uplifting with the hero. And they were saying that half of them, you'll get the villain like not until the end of the movie, like a surprise villain. Like, oh, I'm the villain. You thought I was the good guy the whole time, but now I'm bad.
Yeah.
So when you surprise villain somebody, you don't get a chance to tell a villain story because it's like, oh, here's the villain.
You see, and I found that to where they'll introduce a villain, but the villain is always, you know, changed or, you know, sees the other side of thinking. You know what I'm saying? And that's why I like it when, like, true villains, like, they have a purpose and they believe in that purpose. And if that purpose is against the grain, they're labeled a bad guy. But they believe it in it so much, like Ciampa, you know what I'm saying? He believes in it so much that he is a convincing, like, bad guy villain.
Yeah, well, I was about to say that I feel like WWE is doing the same thing. I feel like they have a bad guy problem. Not necessarily a lack of bad guys, but good, compelling
good bad guys.
Bad guys.
That's what I'm saying. Good versus evil is cool, but I want
when it's,
good,
when
good,
it's strong,
and good bad guy. Like,
so
give me strongly written.
So when you got a beast like Brock versus, like, Super Roman or whatever, like, you want that to be like, hey, this is a good versus evil storyline.
Yeah.
But then when you have people like Alicia Fox was supposed to be bad at one point. Like, who cares, you know? Like,
she's still supposed to be bad.
She's crazy now.
Yeah, she fought Ronda. She had to be the heel for that.
Yeah, so I'm like, stuff like that you don't care about. And eventually, at a certain point, WWE did that when they were pushing, like, John Cena and stuff like that. Like, they were like, we're going to ride these good guys. And they basically, for lack of a better term, they're riding them to the bank because the good guys sell the merch.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely.
So when you got John Cena, when you got Roman Reigns, who Rand said is just the guy. He's not a good guy or a bad guy, but the kids look at him as a good guy.
They do.
Let AJ me Styles, you all these guys who are selling the merch,
absolutely.
So they're going to be pushed more than, especially in a PG era where it's being pushed towards children more than it's being pushed towards us. They're going to do what's best for business.
Absolutely. Okay, last thing I'm going to say, then we can go to some SmackDown stuff. They say, and it's always been said in wrestling in general, that a good heel is what makes a good face.
And that a heel, don't they say that the heel, like,
the heel
runs
calls
the match?
Spots. Yeah, the heel calls the match, as well as a great bad guy makes you want to like the other guy. So could it be that Roman just never had a great bad guy up against him to make him shine as a great good guy?
I can agree, and I don't think that Brock is the bad guy.
Because look at it, Brock hasn't been around.
Right, with Brock getting ready to leave, like on the heels of that, I think it should have been Joe.
Yeah,
Joe and Roman had a time.
But people people love Joe though.
But Joe got injured also. So,
but people like him. They would boo Roman if him and Joe went head to head.
So is Roman not a good enough good guy?
It's really weird. Joe is just a great bad guy. Yeah. You know what I mean? He's
and
just
he
great.
Has so much
and
his
bad
great
guys are good. Bad guys are in now. Yeah.
But,
so
his charisma overshadows a lot of people.
But yeah. Can I say this though? I was watching. I forget what I was. I was watching with my boy, and he's like, "Is that Samoa Jones?"
Samoa Jones.
And I was like, "Yeah, that's him." He's like, "What is he doing to AJ? He choked him out, son." And you know what he said?
"What?
I don't like him anymore."
Who
so
said
because
that?
Because he beat up.
You said your son?
Yeah.
Your boy. Okay. Doesn't like Samoa Joe anymore because he choked out AJ.
And
because AJ is a lot of people's number one. Like, he is
and then
the guy.
And
so
then,
for kids, it works.
Yeah. And I was watching, like, New Japan, my boy ran into the spot where, like, because I really like Suzuki, you know? But he was watching when Suzuki was beating the shit out of, like, young boys and, you know, and breaking stuff. And he's like, "Who's that?" I'm like, "Oh, that's Suzuki." He's like, "Why is he so mean all the time?" You know? So I get it. So, but I really like Suzuki for his wrestling.
Yeah, but you know what? That's some of the times when we say, like, you know, you call everybody smarks or marks. Sometimes we ourselves have to cut that off.
Of course.
In our brain to enjoy the product. And when you get around people like that, you see, like, oh.
Yeah,
I see what they're doing or who they're pushing at. I'm just looking at it too behind the curtain, too in depth to really even
to enjoy.
And you know, that's why I put out that tweet, like, well, we should really enjoy wrestling for what it is.
I think I'm going to name this episode Enjoy Wrestling for you. I am.
Remember when we had the little boy in here and he was talking about that he was happy about
about Eddie Guerrero.
Eddie Guerrero's death.
Because he was such a good bad guy.
It was like, oh, Eddie was so mean, and he did this, and he did that. I'm happy he's dead. And we're like, no. Like, that's just.
No.
We had to tell him, like, that's just.
So you
got to
get the separation.
But we're just like, oh, I get what you're saying, but yeah, we're not gonna.
Right.
We're not gonna be happy about somebody's death.
All right. So I'm gonna run you through some rumors, and we're gonna chat about them real quick. Rumors via Cage Side Seats SB Nation. No Holds Barred podcast said Brock Lesnar met with Vince McMahon prior to Raw last week, and Brock said that he wants to work in
Pride, New Japan,
WWE,
205
Live. And UFC.
Oh.
He wants to do both. That was what. So, any thoughts? 205. He's gonna drop a bunch of weight.
I think I brought this up in one of our podcasts before when I was talking about. It was actually before. It was the podcast before Paul Heyman said that Brock wanted to be dual champion.
Two sport.
Is Brock the man to do it? Can Brock? He was the only man to rock
Jimmy
John stuff on his shorts.
Yeah.
He's the only one to get like sponsorship outside of WWE. Like, is he the man that can walk between both worlds and be
dual
champion?
He's the only one.
There's anyone who can do it
at the same time.
Him or
Lashley? I think he's too old now to compete in the UFC and win. He'll have good matches, but I don't think he can win.
Well, him winning in the UFC, that's strictly on him.
Right. It's not scripted. Right. So it's like, I can't really answer that. To be like, can he hold both belts? He got to be good enough to do it. He lost last time he went back, right?
Cormier is not a spring chicken, though, either. I mean, that guy's been in UFC since I've been watching UFC, I think.
Really? Oh, he's an older guy? I didn't know how old he was.
He's still pretty good, though.
I was going to say,
how old is Daniel Cormier?
Either that or UFC gets people old fast.
Daniel Cormier is 39.
Yeah, that's. I feel like that's old UFC.
How old is Brock Lesnar?
How old is Brock Lesnar?
Brock Lesnar is 41.
Fuck. Well,
hey, that's a good match.
I guess it can go down then. All right, so Brock Edward Lesnar is
41 and throw 41. People that they said, "Hey, Brock, you're gonna win." But when you gotta fight for your life, this is about to be a 39 versus 41 year old.
Yeah, it's just old men going at it.
Yeah,
so
old men blows hurt.
It could, so he could win. I'm not saying his age is why he won't or whatever, but But it's not scripted. Like, he got to pull it off.
Check,
so,
check.
Yeah, that might
work. Check, sorry.
Yeah.
Man, I think UFC and WWE are going to miss something if they don't figure this out. Because if you let Brock remain the WWE champ and let him go to UFC with the title, it's such an awesome picture for WWE until he gets his face punched in. Then it's like, oh, well, you lost, so we don't really care that you're the champ.
If he loses, it's right. Garbage. It doesn't mean anything.
If I put my fedora on, it doesn't
But now
bad.
If he goes to win, if he wins the UFC and then comes back to WWE with the UFC title and wins the WWE title back, which they can just write that in, then that's an awesome thing for UFC
it
and
would be
WWE.
Cool. But that's the thing, you got to be careful, because they always say, like, Brock is box office attraction level. You know what I mean? And if he takes another L, like, he's not really box office anymore if he keeps losing.
Right.
Where's Dana White on all this? What's his
opinion? Dana White loves Brock.
No, but will he let him carry
go
both?
Back and forth?
Yeah. You know.
We forgot about the other side of the story. Yeah, Dana White. Would he even allow it?
Well, that takes his shit seriously, especially when
much.
It comes to UFC.
Exactly. He's like, this is not a joke. Like, so he might not even be down for it.
Again, because it could be something to whereas you let a wrestler disparage your sport and vice versa.
Well, the only thing that I can say about that is because it's Brock. Like, it's not like a joke wrestler. Like, oh, you're funny in WWE, but you want to come over here and be serious. It's like, no, Brock takes himself seriously in both sports. So it's not like, and he's already fought in UFC and held his own and won gold. So it's not somebody to sneer at, you know?
Well, you know, it's funny because you have people like Cain Velasquez showed up to the Mae Young Classic.
I heard some of those guys are training with WWE guys right now.
Shayna Baszler, obviously, from the world of UFC.
Yeah.
And if you remember, like I said, Bobby Lashley, he came from Pride, which was a much more brutal
sport. That's like
sport,
rough stuff
brutal
right
sport
there.
Than UFC. And then again, Shinsuke, he also did Pride, and so did Suzuki Minoru. So, you know, I guess it has its time and place, but kind of like what Teak was saying, it would make for a good spectacle.
Yeah.
But I feel like it could damage either sport if you have your fedora on.
So Shinsuke fought in Pride?
Or he fought in some sort of mixed martial arts, yeah.
And him and Brock have fought.
Brock did, too.
Hasn't he fought Brock?
Yeah.
In Japan?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. A million years
ago. It was like super way.
Was
like
that the
Brock
Beast
was young.
In the East?
Mm-hmm.
No,
no,
East
no,
is
no,
like,
no.
That was WWF
almost
stuff.
Almost 10 years
or
ago.
Or WWE stuff.
Oh, they fought a long time ago?
Yeah.
Young Brock.
Shinsuke
yeah, check
like
it out.
Short hair.
It's a short match. It's on YouTube.
Who would you
somewhere.
Put your money on with Brock and Shinsuke in a UFC fight, in a Pride type fight?
Between who and who?
Brock and Shinsuke.
Well, I mean, how much PED would Brock be on?
Well, that, and you got to remember, you can grab and throw and submit. So he's got size.
I mean,
he's got size.
Right.
I mean,
Shinsuke's got
if
the
it
strong
was,
style.
He's quicker and he's got the strong style.
But
like
if
he can throw those kicks and those knees for real.
But maybe Lashley versus Brock.
Now, that would be a great fight. That's like a real fight.
In a real fight, one of those guys are going to die.
They'd probably be just real sloppy. They'd just be holding each other like, come on, you move. No, you move. No.
Man, when's the last time you watched some UFC? I watched some UFC.
I can't really
recent.
Watch it, man. I feel like a punk when I watch it. I'm like, this is brutal.
Yeah, but just watch, and I know we're getting off wrestling a little bit, but go watch like Ultimate Knockouts or something like that where it's just UFC knockouts.
Oh, my God. Man, I definitely can't watch that.
When you're watching
this
that,
this is people getting their heads
like,
flown.
You seriously
off
will be like, ref, do your fucking job. Like, when these
like,
guys
yo,
get
these
knocked to the ground
killed.
And these guys go down on them and start
and
giving them the mountain punches
them.
And stuff, I'd be like, dude, like, ref, like, he got knocked out on his feet.
Where's my five count ref?
You shouldn't have let this
one,
guy
two,
get down
three,
and punch him in
right,
the face.
Right, right. Why are you letting him get more hits in? Like, it's obviously over. Like, bro,
like,
stop.
Like Tiger Hattori, don't use a closed fist.
I'd be like, man, one of these guys are going to die on the ground because this ref is going to not stop the match in time.
So real quick, since we've all watched at least some Lucha Underground, we could talk about
I'm
what.
I'm behind one episode.
Well, I'm not giving you a Lucha. We're not going to go into Lucha, but going into a rumor surrounding All In. All In rumor is Kenny Omega and Pentagon Jr.
Pentagon! El Cerro!
I think
Miedo.
This is a classic in the making if this happens. Originally, the plan was Rey Mysterio and Kenny Omega. So, which of those would you rather
see? Oh, because Rey got re-signed, didn't he?
Yeah.
That's what I keep hearing. With WWE. That's why he's not
There's
doing all
rumors,
the right?
It's up and down.
No, isn't he in a multi-man match?
He's in it.
He's in the WWE. He's in the new game. So he got signed, but
well, I think that's a legacy.
It's a legacy thing. He's not like signed on full time. He could still do other stuff.
But
I thought he's like in the multi-man match at All In.
Like Tyler. Well, like
his likeness is contracted.
Well, no, he's contracted, kind of like how Tyler Bate is. He can wrestle in, you know, WWE and Progress and Crash Lucha. You know what I'm saying? But he's still signed to a contract, but contracted.
Well, as of May 13th, 2008,
so Jericho, so
Rey Mysterio was confirmed for All In.
Okay.
So he's
Lamita
there.
And Bandido.
Mm-hmm. He's in.
Kota Ibushi and the Young Bucks.
So
who's his team? He's got Phoenix on his team, doesn't he?
No, it's Flamita and Bandido.
Okay.
I think they're from CMLO.
Who's Pentagon's brother?
Pentagon is Phoenix.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I thought Phoenix was in the match.
Yeah, and Phoenix is All In.
He is.
Okay.
So, question. I was just wondering what y'all. I mean, I'm thinking Omega.
Oh, I think Pentagon Omega would be an awesome match.
Ridiculous. So, will this be the first 5-star of Dave Meltzer of a match that takes place in the United States that is not a New Japan match? I think this is definitely a 5-star. Wait, what are you doing? Don't do that.
Why?
I'm he doesn't want
to. I don't know how strong this computer is if you're trying to do two or three different things on it.
But yeah, sorry. I mean, I guess it depends on how they let these guys go. But if they let these guys go, these are two guys who we know can go.
Oh, absolutely. I'm looking forward to that. Bridgman, any thoughts on Pentagon versus Omega? Yeah, you.
I just want to watch the entire card. I mean...
You familiar with Omega?
Well, I mean, I feel like the fight app is your
current
best
Impact World Champion, isn't he?
Yeah. Did you watch him on Lucha Underground?
Vaguely. I watched a few episodes on Netflix. I'm sorry to say.
On YouTube, they have a whole. If you can look on YouTube, and they have like a compacted storyline that's just his, where they took like all of his stuff from Lucha Underground and put it together. So you can just go watch like a 30-minute of like his story of Lucha Underground.
It's great. I mean, you guys were talking about just sitting back and enjoying wrestling. I'm just going to sit back and watch All In. Some of the guys I'm familiar with, some of them not. Mm. They're all great workers. I mean, it's from top to bottom. Looks like it's going to be an amazing card. Yeah.
You know, there's nothing better than seeing some wrestling that you like. Seeing a new wrestler that's good that you didn't know about.
Blows
like watching
away.
This match and then being like, damn, who the fuck is this guy?
Blows you away, man.
Yeah, man.
I wouldn't surprised. I mean... Kenny Omega's 7, 12, 18 star matches aside, I wouldn't be surprised if All In goes down as the card of the year. That's just me.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think it has a strong potential to do that. I mean, NXT, of course, TakeOver is going to be great, as it always is. But, man, All In is going to be crazy.
Hey, since we're still in this rumor mill, I wanted to bring this one up. Somebody asked us this on Instagram, on the Matt Mania Instagram, said, what are our thoughts on Jericho potentially signing with Impact Wrestling? Anybody hear anything about this?
Not gonna happen.
I can't see that going down. But Jericho does whatever he wants. But I can't see him wanting to do that.
The closest he'll be to wrestling any Impact star will be on the cruise,
right?
Because he's booking Impact versus like ROH essentially.
I agree.
I think he'll use it to get a better deal or sweeter deal from Vince McMahon. Yeah. Like he did 10 years ago.
I feel like it's leverage moves to be like, hey, I'm talking to these guys.
Well, also at the same time, think about this. I know Impact has been signing people and doing like some cool stuff lately. Is there anybody over at Impact who Jericho wants to wrestle?
It must be. I mean, if he would consider it. But
Sammy
like
Callahan, is
Austin Aries.
Yo, Austin Aries and Jericho would have a great match. Sammy Callahan as well.
Those are the only reasons that I can think of him wanting to go over there if he's just like, hey, I'm going to go and wrestle whoever it is that I want to wrestle right now.
Who is he wrestling on the cruise?
He's wrestling, it's him and the Young Bucks versus Kenny, Cody, and Marty. And he hasn't announced a singles match yet, but that's already been put up in the air.
All right, let's talk about something else. You're familiar with Matt Riddle, so I don't know if you heard this.
Yeah, the Super Bro.
Bit of rumor about the Super Bro.
Coming to WWE.
Ryan Satin said, he's in the Performance Center now.
Well, but I think Meltzer tweeted it. He's like, no one's gonna say it, but he said yes when the question was asked.
Right, it's not like out there, but it's out there. So, Aleister Black, the rumor is that he is undergoing surgery for an injury, and his status at TakeOver Brooklyn is in question, so he might not actually be there for a main event.
They just said that he was found unconscious after the episode tonight.
Who said that?
That's what it popped up on my WWE.
So app. WWE told you that?
Yeah, that's WWE. Exactly. So
yeah.
This would be tying in.
So again, yeah. Aleister Black might miss TakeOver.
So they're already scheduling him to miss it, it sounds like. He must have an injury.
So the rumor is Matt Riddle might pop up in a main event triple threat match for the NXT Championship already. What do you think of this?
Who's the third wheel? Or who would be the... It'd be Ciampa.
Gargano and Ciampa.
Okay, so Ciampa, Gargano, and Matt Riddle. Fuck that. I put Keith Lee in there.
Are they making it a three-way, or would they have to make it if Aleister can't just fight yet, on his own?
I mean, they could do Gargano, Ciampa again, and nobody would really be mad at that.
I put either Keith Lee, because he's a big boy.
Yeah.
He looks like Mr. Sandman.
It seems like, okay, so thoughts on bringing a guy in, first match being a main event. You would be okay with that if it was Keith Lee?
I would probably even, just for the sheer shock value, I'd still be okay with it even if it was Matt Riddle.
Yeah, I mean, it would be shocking just to be like, you have another surprise opponent, bam, and it's like, what? We didn't even know he worked here. So a lot of the guys on the rumor report are saying, it sounds like that would be a desperation move to throw somebody in when the rest of the roster is already super talented. They got a lot of great guys there. Cassius Ohno, they mentioned.
I feel like Adam Cole and Ricochet at this point, I think both of them would probably shadow Matt Riddle when it comes to overall wrestling exposure, because they've definitely been, you know, more tenured than Matt Riddle for sure.
Oh yeah, they're going to steal that show. Mm-hmm. Like that match is going to steal the show, I guarantee. So is Velveteen fighting? Is anything going on with him?
I thought it was he and.
I haven't looked at the card. All right, well I'm going to find that, and then we're going to get close to wrapping up. If y'all have any thing you want to add, this will be the time.
Well, let me bring something up. This might be a podcast in itself, but I mean, I read something tonight that Ring of Honor has already sold out 60% of Madison Square Garden.
Dang.
I thought those tickets don't go on sale.
And this
like
is next
August.
Year.
Right. And okay, and then we got All In. Just, you know, it's going to kill it. And we've got Impact Wrestling, you know, they're amazing right now. They're rebuilding in the proper way.
Mm-hmm. Get in the mic.
Right. Sorry. They're rebuilding in a proper way. At what point do we get, you know, Vince Strikes Back or
God
Hunter
damn it,
Strikes
pal.
Back or whatever? I mean, do they go in and steal talent, or do they just let it flourish knowing that eventually all this talent is eventually going to come their way?
Because all roads lead to.
They're all coming that way eventually, right. I think. It's just right now they might want to hang out. I mean, this rumored that, and I don't, I mean, it might not even be a rumor, when the Bucks were in Orlando, as soon as they landed, they were greeted by WWE officials who talked to them for 20 minutes at the airport. So
watch that.
They're working. They're
elite,
already
bro.
Working. They're already trying. It's just like, I think right now the Bucks are enjoying their freedom. They're young, right. But sooner or later, they're going to be like, man, less dates, more money. Let's go.
Less selling shirts out of our house. Let's let the machine.
We don't have to ship it ourselves.
Yeah, let's
okay.
Let the machine do the selling for us.
No but, more Funko Pops.
But you might as
no,
well
even
get
more Funko
get your
Pops.
Money now. You know what I mean? It's like, let's get money now,
well,
and then we'll talk about
it
later.
To anyone else.
It will happen, I think. If all roads do lead to it. But yeah, like, that's a good question. Is Vince just kind of watching it like, they'll come knocking on our door? Or is he thinking, we got to stop this? So, I don't know.
I think it all started when, in Being the Elite, where they got stooged off for not to, you know, so they could not use the Too Sweet anymore. Yeah. I know we kind of squashed that.
That's not, but I don't think that was real.
Right, but I know we squashed that, but I'm saying it kind of like, you know, kind of makes you think in the back of your mind, well, maybe they did approach them for something, you know what I'm saying? Or maybe they just say, hey, you got to stop using our likeness.
Maybe. You know? Once they said no to him too many times, you're like, all right, well, no more Too Sweet.
And then, you know, we're going to do, we're going to stooge you off, you know?
That's a good question, dude. I don't know. What do you think? What do you think, Benjamin? Do you think, like, there's going to be a point where Vince is just going to come in, squash
long,
it all?
Okay, long term. Oh, they're okay. Short term, they're going to try to sign away talent. I mean, they've already, you guys mm-hmm. say they've already signed away Rey Mysterio. You know, therefore he's no longer with, you know, whatever. Long term, I think Triple H is just going to keep on trying to set up, you know, do what he's doing in the UK. There's talk of NXT Japan. There's he's going to create these little
pockets, little territories
all over the world, the little fiefdoms.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because they want to run the board. I mean,
yeah, I think long term, kind of like what you're saying. I think, unfortunately, if and when Vince McMahon does just have, he wants nothing to do with the wrestling business, or if he just unfortunately passes away, that's when Triple H is going to just kind of either A, open the floodgates, or be very methodical with his booking.
Ouch. Before Vince passes away,
Vince will never die.
Do y'all think that we're going to get one last Vince McMahon storyline?
The last cliffhanger we had was KO and
yeah, that was a cliffhanger left. But I mean, are we gonna get one more Vince coming back and trying to run shit? One more, you guys are fucking up, and I gotta come and
he'll be back in the ring. I don't know if they'll necessarily do another, you know, him taking a bump, but you never know, man.
Not a bump,
man.
But I'm just saying, like him, like being back more often, like trying to run thing, like the authority type thing.
He's
or you think
he's
getting too old and like
he's
medical
gonna bring
conditions.
Back Hulk Hogan.
He'll be the one to bring back Hogan.
Black and white. And him and Hogan and NWO Black and White, they're going to like make a new NWO stable and fight against the WWE.
You saying that just makes
so
my heart drop.
Did you
drop.
Become Vince Russo, man?
Did y'all?
Did y'all going to do you, a bro. Bandana on a pole match, bro, to end the show?
Well, did you guys hear that they were filming something at Hogan's Beach Shop? There were pictures of Scott Hall and Kevin Nash at Hogan's Beach Shop, and they were all wearing NWO.
Oh yeah, gear. He came out at a con appearance and said, "Hey, October 27th, go to my site. There's gonna be something big for all the NWO fans, all the black and white fans." So they're filming some sort of documentary,
okay,
or something that they're gonna debut on that day. So
the 20th anniversary of him beating Warrior or something?
Is it?
I thought you were about to say of him being a racist, man. I can't believe you missed that.
No, Hulk Hogan is a racist.
I don't know.
I'm not disputing that fact.
So speaking of Hogan, I didn't want to get into him too much this week, so you know what?
No,
I'm gonna drop that.
We ran him down 1 week.
We did.
So I got three things that I wanted to bring up for SmackDown.
Oh, sorry. Pause real quick.
Go ahead.
Velveteen Dream and EC3 going down.
That's good.
I'd watch that.
That's gonna be good.
That's good.
Adam Cole, Ricochet is probably gonna steal the show. Shayna Baszler, Kairi Sane.
Just fought Ciampa. I can't believe that he's got. That's kind of like a demotion.
Well, when you lose, you back of the line in NXT, unless it's Ciampa and Gargano. All right. So SmackDown, what do you got?
Randy Orton wants to be called RKO now. He wants that to be his name.
I caught that when he said it. He said it in another thing. Like, I'm just going to be. Did you know RKO stands for? You know what it stands for?
Randy Knockout.
Randall Keith Orton. It's his actual
it's his initials. Okay.
So now he wants to be known as RKO. And he's still not doing the RKO.
Probably not until we acknowledge him as RKO.
Right. I think the whole like job.
Yeah, he'll get that pop.
Is when he does it, it's gonna be like, yeah! You know what I mean? So,
but it'll go against what he's trying to do. You know,
it's good. This is perfect, man. He's playing it perfect. He's the best heel on SmackDown, in my opinion.
Joe is on SmackDown.
Well, Joe's great too, but no. But Orton's getting the right reaction. He's getting booed. Like people really hate him. Mm-hmm. He said it's gonna be so violent. You're gonna have to turn the channel.
Right. The other SmackDown thing was apparently they're putting like Becky Lynch and Charlotte together. So they're going to be probably fighting Oscar? The Boss and the Hugger. The Boss and Hug connection.
Can I add
at,
that?
At Evolution.
They've been announcing when they come to the ring, and this is a women's tag team division match. Becky Lynch and
right.
Charlotte Flair.
So they're planting
the
seeds.
Thing mm-hmm. when it came to Sasha Banks and Bayley.
It's happening.
And on SmackDown, there was a little like jab towards Sasha Banks and Bayley. So Becky,
you're
Lynch,
saying it's happening at like what Evolution?
Becky
they're gonna
Lynch
announce,
and
yeah.
They're gonna
yeah.
unleash
Charlotte
these tag belts.
Did that jab?
Well, I mean, they're saying the tag team division match. Mm-hmm.
Or maybe they start the tag team division at Evolution,
was,
but not have the titles come out.
Sasha's Instagram, she's like, oh, we about to run this tag team division. And
yeah.
she said, oops, did I say that? And it puts the little emoji of the hand on the mouth.
Yeah, they're
so
being stupid.
It's, you know, they're just playing around with it probably to try to force it sooner. You know what I mean? Because the talk is there.
To get reaction, you know.
The
just
talk
the talk
is there.
Around it.
Yeah, the talk is there, so they want to keep that talk going, which will get them more TV time. So, they win.
Charlotte Flair and Becky Lynch versus the Boston Hug Connection. You want to see that?
Well, that's way later. I mean, I think it'll be a good match. But I think, most importantly, though, the women's title is going down at SummerSlam, and it's a three-way. So we got Charlotte,
Yeah, Becky, we talked about that last
Carmella,
week.
I think if they have this match and they have some bad blood, then how are they going to just all become buddies in a month, you know? I don't know.
Like Sheamus and Cesaro.
Well, then again, that's what happens with everybody. That's what happened with the Boston Hug.
And you know, just a thought, the women's champion on both shows, I feel like they're both doing the same thing.
They're the same exact character right now.
Yeah, they're the same exact character.
Like when they...
The chicken, what they call it, the chicken shit heel. Like the heel who's scared, who really can't fight, who's just like, you know, but complaining about everything. And
I was about to say, don't forget that they announced NXT girls on both shows the same way. Hey, here's this new group. And they jump people backstage. And then the next show, hey, here's this new group that jumped y'all
that
backstage.
That was a big mistake. That was a really big mistake.
But I'm and that's true, but I'm speaking more towards the fact that the champs
are the same now.
Yeah, like there's no discernment between the two other than one's a little bit taller.
Yeah, they're both playing the same character. Like, the mean girl, like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like, but that's kind of...
Well, you were just talking about the chase, so... Mm-hmm.
What's that?
Who do you think does it better?
Alexa Bliss.
Alexa's great.
I think so, too.
But neither one of them are my favorite wrestlers. Right. But, I mean, I think Alexa does the mean girl...
And she did it first.
...much better. And that was her original thing. Right. She was the first kind of mean girl champ.
Yeah, so it resonates more
with
her.
Has that not been Carmella's attitude the whole time? I'm sorry, I didn't watch her in NXT. Is she not... Has she not been the mean girl the whole time?
Yeah, I guess, but she wasn't getting
like the
time.
Snotty, like, I'm better than you girl. Maybe not necessarily the mean girl, but...
Yeah, she's Staten Island princess rocking the Jordans, and you know what I mean? It was... I didn't really get mean girl from her, but she didn't have something that people wanted, so there it didn't matter. It was her and Ellsworth running around. Like, nobody wanted to be them. So, I don't know. I think... I'm not super excited about SummerSlam yet, but I do think that hopefully in the next couple of weeks... Something will happen.
Here's something else about SmackDown that might boost you or might make you less excited for SummerSlam.
What's that?
New Day versus Bludgeon Brothers, because the New Day won the tag team tournament, so they're going to be fighting the Bludgeon Brothers again.
And that was I just don't know if that's going to be a great match. Like, Bludgeons and...
I'm sorry, did you say Inferno match?
I said that was a fire match.
Oh, I thought you said in an on-fire match.
Oh, yeah. Everyone said, and I already knew it was going to be, but my whole Twitter was on fire, like, yo... The Bar versus New Day was the best match on TV this week. Mm-hmm. And it should be. They're the best workers they got.
Yeah.
I think them all in the ring is the best workers besides
like
Usos.
Just crazy the fact that they put them on SmackDown, because
that should be the title match. You know what I mean? But
both
of them
saying,
have already
like,
had
with
it.
Them, you had the Bar on Raw, and then you had the Usos and the New Day on SmackDown. And like, those are the best WWE tag teams.
They ran
you got
the
all
division.
The best tag teams
now
on
they're
SmackDown.
All on SmackDown. And the Bludgeons. So what do you think? New Day versus Bludgeons? You think New Day's taking it?
Can we just get like a Four Corners tag match?
I would love to
see
that.
With Bludgeon, New Day, Usos. Or wait, that's three corners.
That'd be three corners.
You can throw in like...
who else?
Breezango or something. Just to be that.
Fandango hurt, so...
I know, but I'm just saying, you can throw in just some team for the
somebody. I think... I do think, like, we always say, like, New Day doesn't need the titles. I think they kind of do.
Like,
because
they've
been doing nothing. Like, we always say, like, they're over.
And at the same
time... I think they need to show people they're legit again.
At the same time, there's no... I don't know. I just haven't been impressed with the Bludgeon Brothers run.
No,
like when the Usos
it hasn't been
it.
As great as the Usos, the
and the New, Day.
New Days, or the Bar's run.
That's it.
The Bludgeon Brothers are just big. That's all they are. Yeah. But
it's not impressive.
When the New Day and the Usos were going at it, and they were like, oh, we're going to, each match is going to be the better than the last match. Like, that stuff was exciting then. Now the New Day are just hanging out backstage with pancakes and shit.
Do you know that, and they said it when the New Day was on commentary last week, that the Usos have never been in a match on the SummerSlam card. Like,
really?
It's never. They've
I
always
never
been,
knew that.
They've always been pre-show or something else.
Oh, wow. Pre-show, but not on the main card?
They've never been main card of SummerSlam. Remember we were talking about this.
Well, we
some guys are not
wrestling.
Like the guys to get on TV. There was enough, you know, not enough slots, I guess. I don't know. Anyway, speaking of slots, the Mae Young Classic is going down. And I don't know where that even. But anyway, that's happening. So please watch it if you can't support women's wrestling. I'm about to end because it's been 70 minutes. But you know who's wrestling? And I didn't even know it.
At the Mae Young Classic?
Yeah, Cedric's wife. is a wrestler.
Is she a wrestler?
And I don't know why I didn't even know that.
Well, I mean, she looked like she could be a wrestler, but who does she? I'm guessing WWE there, right?
Yeah, she's in the Mae Young Classic. Here she is, Ariel Monroe.
Oh, that is her. Hey, Doc, is she a 205 Liver, or is this like her debut in this tournament?
I think it's her debut.
Where are you getting 205 Live from?
I mean,
right, you a woman. She don't get them 205. Anyway.
Damn, are there no women wrestlers on 205? Y'all just kind of like stumped me. Y'all said, where are y'all getting 205? Are women not allowed to wrestle on 205? What the fuck?
They don't. It's guys. I 205
meant,
guys.
I meant NXT. I meant NXT, but that's crazy that we have a show that there's no women.
So do you 205 think, so you're saying hour there should be a women's show? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm saying, like, why aren't there any women luchadors or anything Evolution. On 205 Live?
Evolution. It's a good question, though. There should be women on 205. If they're under 205, why not? I don't know. Be fair. Be fair, guys. What's up, game, Triple H?
I think the other thing, too, you know, I know we're going to wrap up, but, you know, remember, that G1 climax is still full fire.
Still going strong.
I think they're still continuing the average 4-star match, you know, pretty much everyone. And I think if you watch Omega versus Ishii again, they did another match, Omega and Ishii, and it was amazing. Definitely, that was probably another instant classic between the two. And, you know, talk about all the heel work coming from the Bullet Club OGs. You know what I'm saying? They don't give a shit about the G1. They're just like, making a statement. They're
you going, talk about good heels. Yeah. They're just like, we don't care.
They're going back to the Bullet Club roots where they would just beat the shit out of you and just take names and, you know, make the emphatic statement, which I think is good because it's going to build eventually between, you know, Bullet Club Elite and the Bullet Club, you know, OGs. You know, so that's still been fire. You know, Balloon Maker Okada is still fun to watch. And, you know, it's just going to be interesting to see who's going to win this G1 because ultimately the G1 leads to Wrestle Kingdom. So just be on the lookout for that, boys and girls.
Yes, indeed. G1's always great, great wrestling. And they've got some really cool stuff happening right now. So,
hey, Ram, before you close it out, I got one more thing. It's not wrestling related and it's going to be quick. Damn, I don't think Neo is going to have any input on it. I don't know about you. I wish Rock would have been here, but it is Sean Price Day. R.I.P. Sean P. Question on the Instagram. Favorite Sean Price song?
What's that song called? Look at the Mess You Made. I love that track. I wish I could play us out on that. Actually, you probably can. It's like because most of his catalog is bars. You know what I mean? Barbarian bars, as you call it. It's just him kind of bullying. But this is the one where he talks about like all the mistakes he's made in life and how like he wants to fix them. Rest in peace to an amazing MC. A dude who went through an incredible transformation from a part of a group, Helter Skelter boot camp, to becoming a formidable everyman MC where, like, every rapper loves Sean Price.
Yeah, a song named called Figure Four.
My answer to the question was anything off Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson is just a hard-ass album, man.
Yeah.
I can listen to Mike Tyson start to finish.
I'm probably going to play that on the way home.
What, some Mike Tyson?
I am.
But also, if you didn't listen to, what's the name of this album? Songs in the Key of Price, which I think that was right after he passed.
Yeah.
Wait, let me make sure that this is the one. No. So that's the one that he dropped right after he passed. But on Imperious Rex, the new one that they put out, I think that's the one that has the first song on it. He's rapping, and he's rapping about, he's like, yeah, Bernadette, let's have some sex. And then he's like, hold on, what the fuck is you doing? Like, he was rapping like some, he was like, oh yeah, let's cut the light off. And then he's like, hold on. He was like, man, you better get on some monkey shit. Ape don't kill ape. And then it's like the track starts over again.
Yeah.
Like a skit? Like they kind of put it was
a song and he was rapping and then he stopped and started like, man, if you don't get off this bullshit and rap some hard some shit.
Rapping.
Right. Okay. Then it starts back over and then he starts rapping his normal stuff.
My first favorite before that was, man, Peabody, Onion Head. There's so many good ones on the older records too. A lot of good ones. We're gonna play you out with a little bit of Mess You Made, Sean Price, Block McCloud, and Recipe Sean Price. And if you can, go pop him into your Google machine.
He's on Spotify.
Play all He's the Sean on YouTube. Price. Play some Pete. All right. And ladies and gentlemen, we going to holler at you. It is Matt Mania, episode 96.
That is Mega Ran.
I'm Mega Ran.
T-Call.
and
the NeoX.
And thank you, Benjamin, for stopping through. We appreciate you, buddy.
Thank you, guys. And as always, keep your shoulders off the mat. Let Sean Price's smooth voice take you out.
Peace. Look at the mess you made on that occasion. Who cares? Look at the mess you made. You're a fucking slide. Listen. I ain't had a hit since 96. Ever since then, my career did twist. The Fab Five album got put on the shelf, but they still play LaFleur on the throwback at 12. My man said he heard me on Mr. C. Yeah, that's cool, but it don't equal chips to pee. The brokest rapper you know sell crack after the show, with a 4-4 down to blow back half the throw. Drugs that I sold got fucked up guards. So it's car hard suits, construction jobs. It ain't rap though, but the money is cool. Gotta make sure Elijah ain't coming in school. Hey. I guess this rap shit is a thing in the past. Took the ring off my finger, sold the thing for some cash. The nice niggas broke and the rest get paid. Damn, look at the mess I made. The mess I made. Look at the mess you made. All right, y'all, we on. Peace.